Humanity has been shaped by moments in which one person approached a crowd with something important to say. I'm John Meacham, and this is It Was Said, Season 2, a creation and production of C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio, in association with the History Channel. It Was Said, Season 2. Listen and subscribe for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Humanity has been shaped by moments in which one person approached a crowd with something important to say. I'm John Meacham, and this is It Was Said, Season 2, a creation and production of C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio, in association with the History Channel. It Was Said, Season 2. Listen and subscribe for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I'm actually collecting cities that hate me, like notches on my belt. I'm really damn good at it. Just happens. I don't even need to try. It's my winning personality, my charisma, if you must know. When I'm wearing my full body armor, you're actually going to end up hurting your hand. So I wouldn't even try to make the radio host your punching bag.
She said...
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's just the privilege of a sports talk radio host that we are the ones very often that draw the ire of the fans. I've given up saying don't shoot the messenger because whatever. It means you're engaged. It means you're listening. So I'll take it. Bring it. Let's go. Bring it on. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning to you. Happy Friday. I know that was not a sound you want to wake up to, but happy Friday to you. If you are blessed enough to have it be a payday Friday, well, us too. Thumbs up from Carlos. Actually, I think he's dancing, is going to jig in there. So Carlos filling in for producer Jay, who needed the night and the morning off for some personal reasons. And so we've got Carlos with us, and yes, payday appeals to both of us, the entire crew, all two of us. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Can I interest you in any other game besides Bills and Chiefs being the game of the week? Because it's that time of the week again. We've got the NFL slate on tap. I worked on this poll so many times, I don't know what was happening. I first got one thing wrong, then I got something else wrong, then I completely screwed up something else and had, I'm not joking, I posted this puppy 5 times. And now I see another mistake on it. Oh, not a mistake, just it's a style error, a stylistic error, if you will. And it's annoying me because I'm anal retentive and a perfectionist. I'm in the wrong business, actually, to be a perfectionist and be anal retentive. Wrong place to be. Had to learn that a long time ago. Anyway, there's a stylistic error that's annoying me. It's eating at me, but I'm not going to take the poll down because at least I didn't spell anything wrong. I put the right time on it. So blah, blah, blah. See if you can find it on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, or it's pinned to the top of our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. You're also blowing it up on our Facebook page. And while you're doing it, telling me all of the reasons that I'm wrong, which is, as I say, so fine with me because that makes it a fighting football Friday, baby. There didn't seem to be a whole lot of fight on the field in Chicago on Thursday night. But you know what dawned on me? The last 2 nights that we've had Thursday night football in prime, so week 5, week 6, the winner, 12 points. Oi. Admit it. You still watched it, even though you knew it was going to be blah. A win is a win is a win is a win. But it's also true that not all wins are created equal. It's also true that you can win when your offense stinks. Or you can win when you only score 1 touchdown. Or you can win when you score no touchdowns. And actually, the Bears had the opportunity. 1 time they scored last night and still had the opportunity at the end. Instead, the Commanders end their winning streak. There goes the perfect hour. They end their losing streak with 4 wins Oh, okay. I'm just going to stop talking about the Commanders. This is, it's all gone horribly wrong. They get the win. They end their losing skid at 4. I don't know why I make things so complicated. And so at least there's that. But man, it's been a tumultuous week for the Commanders. And I'm not even referring to what's happening on the field. I will say this. 3 trips inside the 5-yard line for the Bears, 0 points, as in the big goose egg. And I don't know if it's the goose that landed on the field at Dodger Stadium for game number 2. I've watched that video so many times, that poor thing was terrified. I don't think it was that goose. It's a goose egg.
Fields under center, Equanimeous St. Brown, right of the formation. Snap, take, fakes the end around. Now he's going to throw to a wide open Griffin. He couldn't reach him. Out of his hands, out of the reach of his hands, on the blue NFC logo on the right corner of the end zone. It's 3rd and 4.
What I like about the play, there is 2 fake handoffs that completely confuse the defenders. That's why that tight end was so wide open, and that's usually a throw that Justin easily makes.
Equanimeous St. Brown to the right, Pettis in motion, takes turns, gives Khalil Herbert, dives. And the Washington Commanders say they've turned him away, yeah. And that's exactly what has happened.
The runner is short of the goal line.
Didn't get in. 2 trips inside the 10 and no points for the Bears.
An interception in the first quarter on a ball that was tipped up in the air and was corralled then by a Commander. And Khalil Herbert stuffed. The second time they got inside the 5-yard line, actually, he was stuffed up close. Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer on Bears Radio. I do appreciate Tom trying to find the positive in it. He's right. The tight end was wide open, and Justin just barely missed him. Justin was taking a beating in this game. 5 sacks, a dozen quarterback hits in addition to those sacks and the interception I mentioned. But get this, you wouldn't believe this if you didn't watch the game and I was just spitting out stats at you, telling you the numbers, kind of telling you the fact that they only had 1 TD. They had nearly 400 yards of total offense and 238 rushing yards. The Bears rushed for 238 yards. Man, it's a shame to waste that. But that's what happens when you go up and down the field and then you're 0-for-3 in the red zone. And there were other mistakes too. Other mistakes that lead to prime opportunities for the Washington Commanders.
Wade gets this one off. Bayless Jones driven all the way back to his 9-yard line. Fell down, muffed the punt, and he got it back. I think he got it back. Christian Holmes is in a tussle with him at the 6-yard line. Washington had a golden opportunity to get a fumble at the 8, and now Cameron Cheeseman is pointing the way that Washington got
they're
it.
Saying
yes,
Washington
it's
has
a turnover.
It.
There was a scrum under that pile. Bayless Jones drops the punt, and Washington has the ball at the 6. 2nd and goal here. 2 tight ends both move in motion to the right side of the line. Robinson standing next to Wentz at the 6-yard line. Now here comes Curtis Samuel. Hand off Robinson up the middle of the line. Heading towards the goal line and in! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! The first career rushing touchdown for Brian Robinson Jr.
Well, and that's the highlight for the Commanders. Amazing. We're going to hear from Brian. If you don't remember or you don't know, the rookie for the Washington Commanders was away from the team for about a month and a half, recovering from 2 gunshots to the leg. And man, does that not only change your own perspective on what matters and football and what you get to do for a living, what you get to do for a living, but it also changes the perspective of the people around you who kind of think about how this could have been a whole lot worse. That's Bram Weinstein and company on Commanders Radio. And so there was a muffed punt in there as well that led to a short field and a Brian Robinson touchdown. And still there were opportunities late in this game. I mean, that's the part that blows me away. You have to try to go 0-for-3 from inside the 5-yard line. It does not come naturally or easily. And yet, the Bears pulled it off.
Sly awaits the snap. It's down. The kick is up from 48 yards. The kick is no good! Bears have decent field position to start what they hope can be a game-winning drive. Bears left to right, shotgun again. Snap is back. Field with a shoulder shrug. Now going to leave the pocket. Room to run if he wanted to. Slows down to the 45. Cuts upfield. Hits the gas. 30, 20, 15, 10, and out of bounds. Inside the 10-yard line. Justin Fields. Out of Fields' trip to the 5 with 52 seconds to go. Montgomery, the long back. They put Fields under center. Takes the snap. Gonna stand in the pocket, throws right front side of the end zone. Darnell Mooney, the catch. Darnell Mooney, there's no indication. Discussion underway, no call made. Is he shoved out of bounds? Does he have the catch? Did he hit the pylon? Which is it? Hands on hips with 30 seconds to go.
Is a catch short of the goal line. The runner bobbled the ball. First down, Washington.
Turned away in Chicago.
And once again, Jeff Chodiak, and you can hear it right there. That essentially is the byline for the entire game. Turned away in Chicago. But, man, there was a dynamic run for Justin Fields in there. He ends up with nearly 90 yards rushing, so almost 300 yards of total offense, but got beat up and a lot of moments where he had to take a breath. And we saw him doing yoga breathing on the sidelines. So an interception in the first quarter inside the five-yard line. Khalil Herbert gets stuffed in the second quarter, and then Darnell Mooney actually bobbles the ball. This is crazy. He's in the end zone. The ball is across the goal line, but he's bobbling it, so he doesn't have possession of it yet. At least we know that much about a catch. That part's set in stone. He didn't possess it firmly. The ball kind of bounces up in the air, and as he's trying to come down with it again, it's just crazy how it happened in a split second. The defense and his momentum carry him back out of the end zone. When he catches the ball, he never goes back across the goal line. So he's in the end zone, but he comes back out. And that's when he catches the ball. I mean, from the category of you can't make this stuff up. So yeah, that final play, it was extremely close.
If he didn't bobble it, it probably would have been a touchdown for real. But I mean, that just goes back. Just finish the catch, finish the throw, finish the run, finish the blocks. I mean, as an offense, we got to finish. I got to be better. We all got to be better.
It's all about execution. You know, it comes down to six or seven plays. And I told the guys, listen, it's we're right there. We're right there. You just got to keep believing and keep believing in what we're doing, how we're doing it. And we're right there, and we're going to get over that hump right there. I think he took a step forward. I really do. Because the toughness, you know, and the ability to take the ball and drive it down at the very end to give us a chance to win it. That's to me what was the improvement. Okay, was there other moments, you know, that we need to clean up and offense needs to clean up? Sure, but we had the drives down there, and if we punch those in, the game's a different game. You know, it's good. That's 21 points, right? So, for me, that was really
great progress.
Inspiring to watch him that at the very end to take us down to win it at the very end. And again, we came up short, but we got to do a better job next time.
Everybody's mad. I mean, nobody's happy about his loss. It's just we always get told that we're almost there. We're almost there. Like me personally, I'm tired of being almost there. I'm tired of being, you know, just this close. I feel like I've been hearing it for so long now, but at the end of the day, all you can do is get back to work. That's the only reaction you have. You live and you learn, and just get back next week and, you know, keep going, keep getting better.
Beat up physically, beat up mentally. Probably a little bit of beat up emotionally in there as well for Justin Fields. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Lots of chatter about whether or not he has the goods to be a competent, successful, long-tenured quarterback in the NFL. It's really hard to know, though, right? I mean, this is not the first time. It won't be the last time. But the development of a quarterback, the growth and knowledge and progression of a quarterback being stunted by constant change around him. Second head coach, second offensive coordinator, second system, second scheme, second voice, second groups of terminology. I mean, all of it's changed. And I know life is not fair and these guys are getting paid a lot of money. Just some perspective. Constant change equals constant losing. And the Bears have been stuck in that cycle for a bit. And Justin Fields, he's been in that situation too. I could name a bunch of other people. Maybe Baker Mayfield's been a victim of that as well. Daniel Jones, has he been a victim of that? Let's just say for the sake of argument, these three quarterbacks and others. I mean, Josh Rosen, we could throw out there. He was damaged from the word go when Arizona threw him on the field and he was not ready. He never recovered. We never will really know if Josh Rosen had the goods to be an NFL QB. I mean, he had his opportunities and he couldn't capitalize on them, but how much was he really never given a fair shake because he was thrown in before he was rushed onto the field before he was ready? Anyway, if these guys all had stability, one reason I believe Kenny Pickett's in a great position to succeed, a reason I believe Mac Jones is in a great position to succeed, there's stability there with the voices, with the system. And yeah, different coordinators and coaches may change, but if your head coach is the same and the teammates you're playing with are the same, that provides a good foundation and you can move on from the basic stuff. And so it's tough to evaluate Justin Fields. He's obviously very athletic. He's smart. He cares. Man, he's getting pounded to a pulp. That doesn't help either. As for Washington, oh man, it's been a tumultuous week. I suppose a win helps. I hope a win helps. Great to see Brian Robinson out there with his first start. He's a rookie out of Alabama. Obviously had a lot of success at Bama, but to get his first NFL TD is awesome. He goes 17 for 60 yards and has that fourth quarter score.
And this moment is great right now. I'm so excited. Like, for the past 6 weeks, you know, everybody know the story of just how things been, you know, just getting back out here on the field was one thing for me, but to be able to come out here and start the game and, you know, kind of lead my team to the victory on the road, you know, it's big time for us, man. It's just, you know, something we could definitely grow on, you know, kind of build up on this momentum, you know, get back and, you know, just find new ways to get better. And, you know, I'm just going to continue to, you know, work on myself, you know, come in week in and week out, just, you know, find ways to improve, you know, help my team.
I've said it since he came back. Obviously, the real life side of it was cool to get him back last week and then huge to get him in the end zone this week for his first of hopefully many. But especially the point in the game, critical, crucial point in the ball game that we needed to score, we needed to get in. And I think we kind of all knew we were gonna give him the rock a couple times down there, and he got it done for us. And I was happy for him, proud of him. And like I said, hopefully the first of many.
I'm just so thankful and appreciative for, you know, all the guys in that locker room, man. They, you know, they showed me nothing but love, you know, care throughout that whole time, man. I can't do nothing but thank them, you know, for just helping me, you know, kind of get back on my feet, you know, just pushing me every day I came in the building, you know, just telling me, you know, God got a purpose for me and, you know, just keep going, you know, my time going to come, you know, and I stayed true to that. You know, I came in there prepared every day and now look at us.
Now look at us. We've ended the losing skid and he could be a great addition to that team. Certainly they could use his expertise and use that running game. But 238 yards rushing for the Bears was not enough. All right, so we have a lot to get to. Ron Rivera, and we'll break it up over the rest of the hour. But Ron Rivera, I'm sure he was happy about the win. But man, when the report came up that it was Daniel Snyder's choice to bring in Carson Wentz, not his. This is a Thursday report. He lost it. Now, it's been a tough week for Ron Rivera. Some of that self-inflicted, going back to his answer to a question of what separates the Commanders from the rest of the teams in the division. Quarterback. I mean, a bad moment. Just a really bad moment. We've all had them. I have a lot of respect for him. But man, he's been stepping in it this week. If you missed my conversation with Ben Standig, who is not only an athletic insider that covers the Commanders, but he's on our DC affiliate, the Team 890 and 106.7 The Fan. Really great insight into Ron Rivera and what he meant by that answer and how he's tried to fix it this week. We also talked about Daniel Snyder. And there's another explosive element to the report. But yeah, Ron Rivera took it personally when he was asked if it was actually Snyder's choice to trade for Carson Wentz, and Ron Rivera essentially didn't want him.
Honestly, I'm gonna speak my mind for a second. It's been hard. It really has. You lose four games in a row, and everybody wants to get you, you know, just get on you. And they've played their asses off. They have. They played their asses off for everybody. They come out and they show up. They work hard. All right. They don't complain. Okay. They hear all the stuff and they got to deal with it. I get them. I respect them for that because they're resilient. They come back. Everybody keeps wanting to say, I didn't want anything to do with Carson. Well, I'm the guy that pulled out the sheets of paper, that looked at the analytics, that watched the tape in the freaking when we were at Indianapolis. Okay. And that's what pisses me off. Because the young man doesn't deserve to have that all the time. I'm sorry, I'm done.
I was just informed that that would be asked in here, and I have no idea what, quite frankly, was being reported or discussed, talked about. You guys know me. I don't read. I don't see a lot of that sort of stuff, so I can't really have an opinion on it.
So Ron Rivera had a tough week. Carson is definitely taking the high road, and he spoke very highly of Ron Rivera after the game. I hope the win helps. Now, it doesn't really help what's happening with Dan Snyder, and I'm not sure that's going away. So we'll work that in before the end of the hour. But as I say, a win is a win is a win is a win. It's just that not all wins are created equal. And the last two wins from Thursday Night Football have only required a total of 24 points. Well, okay, one of them went into overtime. We were tortured with bonus football. So clearly this was not the After Hours game of the week. What is the After Hours game of the week? Find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, our show Twitter as well, and then our Facebook page too. You all are, well, you're killing it. You're fired up. I'd like the Ravens and Giants to get a little bit of love. That's all I'm asking. Just a couple of votes. Throw them a bone, if you will. Good morning to you. Happy Friday. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
The 0-1. Alvarez punishes one deep to left field. Kiss it goodbye. And the Landry's Crawford boxes. Astros lead it 3-2. Yordan does it again.
Who's your daddy? He does it again. This time to left field with a flick of the wrist. Aye, Poppy.
Munoz delivers. Line drive, base hit in the right field. Racing to third base, Pena. He's around third and coming home. Thrown in a plate by Haniger on two hops to slide. Safe! Down to third base goes Alvarez. Bregman drives it a run. Astros with the 4-2 lead. The 2-2. Swing and a miss. Struck him out on a curveball. And that is the ball game. The Houston Astros go up 2-0 in the best of 5 American League Division Series, defeating the Seattle Mariners by a final of 4-2. Astros need one more win to get to the ALCS for a 6th straight year.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You can pitch to him, but he's likely to take a ball that's inches off the plate and smack it out into the outfield or hit it over the wall anyway. And then you could walk him intentionally, but the lineup is so good behind him that that's going to hurt you as well. Both those scenarios played out for the Mariners as they're trying to figure out what to do with Yordan Alvarez. How do you solve a problem like Yordan? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio, Robert Ford, Steve Sparks from Astros Radio. And if you missed it, I asked Steve Sparks on this show. So after, I guess it would have been after game one, the break in between games 1 and 2, which makes no sense. So it would have been that middle night, Wednesday night, I asked him about Yordan and what he means to the team. And he came back at me with a comparison to a Hall of Famer that he pitched to during his big league career. It's on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. It's also on our Facebook page. You can check it out there. Real good insight on Yordan as a player overall. But also interesting intel on the series. And yes, the Mariners are on the ropes. However, it's not going to be easy to be able to close out a team that's playing its first home postseason game in over two decades and a raucous crowd. We know what the Mariners have done with their backs against the wall already this season. So Dusty Baker knows this will be a doozy.
They're fans. I've got people in Seattle. It's going to be sold out. First time in 20 years. You know, they're scalping tickets on here and all kind of stuff up there. So it's going to be loud. And Seattle's a good place to, you know, to visit. That third win is always the toughest because I've been in this situation a couple times. And so, you know, you try to get it over with as soon as you can, you know, so that, you know, they don't have much life after that third game. So, but it's going to be tough.
Yeah, it is. I mean, a caged animal, an animal that's back, it's backed against the wall. We know how that works, and it's always a tough out when you're talking about a team that's got as much life and has been fighting for its playoff life, not just for a couple of months now, but for 21 years. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. As for your Don Alvarez, man, it's hard to know exactly what to do with him. Scott Servais is watching these balls fly.
He's in the zone, and he's a super talented player, and he's made his pay here the last couple of days. So, again, things happen. He's hot right now. You know, we'll go back to our place and go from there.
You can run. You can hit. You can hit for power. You can throw, play defense. So just he's an elite player in this game, and super happy to be on his team.
Yeah, Alex Bregman, obviously, super happy to be on his team. He's 25 years old. And he can hit the snot out of the ball, obviously, but his ability to take a pitch that wasn't intended to be hit and to still knock that 371 feet, I think, was the distance for that home run. Then they try to walk him and somebody else comes through. This is a conversation I had with Steve Sparks, too. It really is astounding that the Astros have flown under the radar. Weirdly enough. Now, it's probably a combination of things. They didn't have Aaron Judge going for the home run record. They didn't have Albert Pujols and Yadier Molina riding off into the sunset. And Justin Verlander had a great year, so he got a bunch of the attention. But it was a team that was pretty far out in front of its division for a good portion of the season. Kind of like the Dodgers. The last 6 weeks, you didn't really have to pay attention to what they were doing because they had already locked up the NL West. But it's amazing that a team this successful with the pitching it's got. Do you know the Astros have the best bullpen ERA in the majors? It's not just their starters. Yay, Justin Verlander, but Framber Valdez is one of the best ground ball pitchers in the majors. And then their bullpen is dynamic. So they got Lance McCullers going in game three today. No, not today. Sorry, Saturday. I mean, baseball makes it so complicated. But yeah, that bullpen, when they do have to take out their starters, that bullpen certainly can carry its own weight. They just don't really have a whole lot of weaknesses. And yet, when was the last time you really thought long and hard about the Astros before the playoffs started? They just haven't had a whole lot of flash. I'll say this, and Chris Lopresti's here in studio. I know he's a big baseball guy. I actually had this conversation with Marco a little bit earlier, and I'd love to get your opinion. It's not like I think a lot of people are rooting for the Astros. So if you don't have a rooting interest, you may still be holding it against them. I mean, the Deflategate thing, there's people that will never let go of that with the Patriots, sure. Right? So they're going to be called cheaters forever. And that's a bed that they dug. You don't dig a bed, whatever, you know. It's
made
Friday
their
morning.
Own bed. Yeah,
they
I got
made
you.
It,
I
they
got
dug
you.
A hole, you know. But if they win the World Series, I feel like people would be really happy for Dusty.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Kind of like Brian Snitker last year.
Yeah, and because Dusty wasn't a part of that. Obviously, he was brought in after the fact when A.J. Hinch was let go. And a guy who's not won as a manager has done it forever and taken a number of teams deep into the postseason. So from that aspect, for sure, I totally agree with that.
It's kind of funny to have that split where you want the Astros to suck it. But you are really, I mean, you're happy for Dusty. He's been there. He's been so close so many times. And he just loves the game. Like, man, he obviously has a life, but... just this is what he loves. You can't make him go away.
This is what he does. To. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And restored some credibility to the Astros, though, again, people are not going to let it go. So, yeah, pretty amazing to think about that dynamic. But they've not got a lot of attention the last couple of months, and they are extremely formidable. I feel like the last time that they were even on the national consciousness, Chris, was that series or that I mean, it was two sets, but it was like the series in New York, and then they had the one game in Houston, right?
They actually played a doubleheader coming out of the All-Star break to make up a series from the beginning of the season. Yeah,
so, and the only games the Yankees won were the walk-offs.
Yeah.
And they really never led at all. And Justin, they nearly got no hit, and just, it was such good pitching. That was probably the last time the Astros were a national conversation.
That's a great point. I totally agree, because they just cruised to their division title from there, and you mentioned some of the other milestones and highlights that were happening across baseball. They were very much under the radar. It's an excellent point.
Another question completely off topic, and then I'll let you do your thing.
I love off topic.
Have you heard Draymond talk about eggs? I just need to know if you've heard Draymond talk about
eggs. I have already. I caught one of Marco's updates actually on the local side here in New York, in which he played that, and I was kind of, what is going on here?
Well, I mean, you don't want to laugh. He's like that miscreant.
You have to.
But he's talking about eggs.
Right.
Like, it's so surreal. So for those of you who haven't heard Draymond talk about eggs, spoiler alert, the man's not going to be publicly remorseful. If that's what you're looking for, that's not Draymond. He wants to stick it where the sun don't shine. He's not interested in being remorseful publicly. Obviously, the team has taken him back. But the man worked eggs into a conversation, which I thought was fairly brilliant. And you're going to laugh in spite of yourself. Maybe. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Second and goal. Shotgun, Robinson to the right of Wentz. Looking for the lead. Handoff. Robinson cuts it up the middle. They push the pile in for a touchdown. It's a scoring bonanza. And the Commanders take the lead here in the fourth quarter.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
What I tell you about sarcasm, it's my love language. I do appreciate that from Ian Eagle on Westwood One. It's a scoring bonanza. At that point, it was the second touchdown of the game and the only touchdown for the Commanders, but it was the first touchdown of Brian Robinson's NFL career, and to come on the heels of what he's been through over the last 2 months, which was recovering from gunshot wounds to his leg. He definitely deserved a spot there on the Thursday Night Football post-game show on Amazon.
You know, staying determined for, you know, what I believe in, you know, my biggest goal is, you know, find my way back on the football field, you know, I was looking for any opportunity, you know, that came my way. And, you know, I just, you know, I was ready for it. You know, I prepared for a weekend, a week out, you know. So, you know, every day, you know, I came in and prepared, you know, to get myself back healthy, you know, so I can, you know, have an opportunity like this.
I'm going to assume the fans behind Brian Robinson didn't realize he was talking about getting shot and recovering. Although, what else would he be talking about sitting there on the TNF set? They got organized really quickly, though, didn't they? All of a sudden got super loud. Now, there's a chance. I didn't see it because I was already on my way to work. But I suppose there's a chance that someone who was with TNF, a crew member, put a microphone right in front of them because it got real loud, real fast. Those Commanders fans chanting, sell the team, sell the team. And the reason they're doing it again, and this is in Chicago, actually, is because of the explosive report, or the reason why it's top of mind again, is the explosive report that came out on Thursday. And this was the report from ESPN. It was actually addressed by Al Michaels on the broadcast, in which he added his opinion that Dan Snyder should sell the team, even if the NFL doesn't force him to, or the other owners don't vote to force him out, which can happen. It's obvious that they are reluctant to do so, and they don't want to ever find themselves in that position. Got to be really careful who you cross when you're talking about powerful rich men. And Daniel Snyder now wants to let everybody know that they can't screw with him. That's a paraphrase of a word or a sentence that was quoted in this report. But according to ESPN, he recently told a close associate that he's been gathering secrets, hoarding secrets, enough to, quote unquote, blow up several NFL owners, the league office itself, and even the commissioner. Now, the commissioner is the one who was on the Zoom call this summer answering questions from congressmen and women about the Snyder investigation, about the commander's workplace culture, about what happened to the investigation and whether or not he's been made to pay for the egregious atmosphere and the complaints that were leveled at him from dozens of people. And what Roger Goodell said is, I can't force him to sell the team, which is true. The owners can take a vote. The other owners can take a vote. And that could happen. But he, according to Dan, all the owners hate each other. And the reason that they work together is because that's how they make money. It's interesting. One veteran owner, a different veteran owner, was quoted as saying, it's not true that we all hate each other. Quote, all the owners hate Dan. So you got to take everything with a grain of salt. But I believe that if Dan Snyder was ever backed into a corner and he thought they were going to force him to sell his team, that he would. He would spill it. If this report is true, and I don't know if it is or isn't, but if this report is true, I have no doubt that he would want to take everybody else down with him. Now, a team spokesperson did say, it's simply ridiculous and utterly false that Snyder said any of those things, obviously. But I wanted to make sure that you knew they were the denial was out there from the team. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're asking you the After Hours game of the week. Even if it wasn't on Thursday night, we weren't going to put Commanders and Bears in there, but somebody had to win, and at least the Commanders got a victory after yet another tumultuous week, a week of just crazy nonstop drama. Our Commanders insider who joined us, he was still in Chicago. He'd covered the game, and he said this is just how they operate. This is just how it is. He's almost numb to it now. It's all consuming, he said, but this is pretty much standard operating procedure if you cover the Commanders. It's always like this. So, yeah, this game wasn't going to be part of it. I'm glad for Ron Rivera and the Commanders that they got the win, but we've given you three options for game of the week on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. We'll see how much roughing the passer is a conversation. I think it'll kind of be like the Tua conversation of week five with all the various shows like ours. But it's not the only thing happening. I mean, there's a lot still that we're going to see play out in the field as teams are still looking for consistency, right? Like, very few teams are playing a full 60 minutes per game at the level at which they want. There's still a lot of that up and down roller coaster ride, which is why it's the best reality show on TV. So please vote on either Twitter or our Facebook page.
Come on, click, boom!
As we wrap up the week, we contemplate the mysteries of the universe.
Boom! I just laid down the A-Law. Boom!
The best highlights.
Foles running up and down the lights, a direct snap, and it goes to Clement, who gives it off to Burton, the tight end, who then throws in the end zone. Touchdown! Foles caught the ball!
And you're fire.
Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it. The greatest sports show in America.
Boom!
After Hours presents the Boom Moment of the Week. Here's Amy Lawrence.
Boom!
The 0-1. And Alvarez belts it
deep to right field. Instant goodbye! Unbelievable! The Astros a walk-off win! Yordan Alvarez a walk-off three-run homer! And the Astros stun the Mariners in game one of the division series. Incredible!
The House of Horrors for the Seattle Mariners continues as they mob Alvarez by home plate. A miraculous comeback for Houston.
Astros win it 8-7.
The 0-1. Alvarez punishes one deep to left field.
Kiss it goodbye. And the Landry's Crawford boxes. Astros lead it 3-2. Yordan does it again.
Who's your daddy? He does it again.
Oh, my gosh.
This time to left field with a flick of the wrist. Hi, Poppy.
I mean, he's a big boy. And I call him Grande. And, you know, he comes up big. And, you know, we love having him at the plate. You know, he likes to be in the big moment. And his concentration and discipline is way ahead of his years. And, yeah, we just love having him.
We cheated a little bit. It's a pair of boom moments. But, man, Yordan Alvarez stealing the stage in the American League and really in the Major League Baseball playoffs at this point with those two extremely loud home runs. And when I talked to Steve Sparks, he said Robert Ford stood up. Well, they were both obviously kind of hoping that Yordan would get to the plate in the ninth inning against the Mariners in the opener. And he said when he hit that home run, it was a no-doubter off the bat. Robert Ford stood up. He was making the initial call. They're both screaming. His chair goes flying. It knocks into a refrigerator behind them. Then, obviously, Steve Sparks is waiting until you can hear the crowd. It's nearly 42,000 people. It's insane. And just fun to hear them or hear him talk about what was happening with them in the booth there. And if you missed that conversation, as I say, it's on our podcast, as will this show be after hours, amylawrence.com. I promised Draymond talking about eggs. I'm not telling you that you're going to like him any more or less. You've probably already made up your mind. But the fact that Draymond worked eggs into a conversation, so he was asked a lot of things, but among the questions he was asked on Thursday when he returned to practice with the Warriors, so what did you do while you were away from the team?
It was great. I spent a lot of time with my kids. Made eggs with my son. Taught him how to cook. I cook really good eggs.
Oh, man.
So I taught him how to cook some eggs. It was great. Spent a lot of time with my kids, but also a lot of time dealing with this stuff, too.
At least he mentioned that part. At least he threw that in as an aside at the very end. I make really great eggs. Yeah, you're not going to get public remorse from Draymond. You're just going to get the defiant Dre that he is all the time. He can be playful now and then, but this is not a guy who believes he should have to apologize to anybody else except for the guys in the building. And I agree with that. I don't think he owes us an apology. But considering that his own coach said that this is the biggest crisis he's ever dealt with as a member of the Warriors, I wonder how the eggs comment went over with the team. Sometimes I wish he would think a little more about his team. All that to say, it's a massive weekend in sports, from NBA preseason, doesn't matter, to the start of the NHL, of course, underway, to college football, to NFL, to baseball. We're back Sunday night. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Humanity has been shaped by moments in which one person approached a crowd with something important to say. I'm John Meacham, and this is It Was Said, Season 2. A creation and production of C-13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio, in association with the History Channel. It Was Said, Season 2. Listen and subscribe for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Humanity has been shaped by moments in which one person approached a crowd with something important to say. I'm John Meacham, and this is It Was Said, Season 2. A creation and production of C-13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio, in association with the History Channel. It Was Said, Season 2. Listen and subscribe for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.